minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Welcome back to another edition of Pack-A-Day Podcast, your 365 days a year Packers podcast. I am Jacob Morley. I will be your host today. You can find me on Twitter at Jacob Morley. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Ross Uglum. You can find Ross on Twitter at Ross Uglum. Ross, what's going on in your life, man? Any news? Anything fun going on?
Potentially. You and I are kind of wise to something that's in the works here. And all that I would caution our Pack-A-Day listeners, if you haven't seen anything already, just stay glued to Jake and I's Twitter accounts. That would be my suggestion. We've got something pretty massive in the works, so just pay attention to the Twitter sphere.
Yeah, I'm not giving away anything, but really excited. Really excited. So, talking about excited, you know, the regular season is quickly approaching in Green Bay, and what's on everyone's mind kind of at this time, and you kind of see this type of content, you know, churn through the meat grinder right now, and that's kind of what we're going to do today too. But Ross and I have our own opinions on what we think the Packers should do with the 53-man roster. So Ross actually had a really nice piece out yesterday, Ross, about what you think the 53-man roster should look like. And I guess before we start, Ross, tell the people, is this what you think the Packers will do or what the Packers should do?
Kind of a mix of both. There's nothing really on this 53 that I produced that I would have done that I don't think they'll do. But, you know, I think I've got some opinions too that they might not share. But I would say that this is what I would call a projection and not an opinion piece. This is a projection of what I think the situation's going to end up being.
Okay, yeah, and basically that's what I did as well. This is what I think they should do, but also you kind of mixed it in with kind of what you're hearing if you keep your ear to the ground and just kind of read between the lines on things about certain guys. So let's get started. I'll get started with the quarterback position. This is actually a pretty highly contested, you know, roster battle. Not because Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the team. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is making the team, but who's going to be the backup quarterback? I don't think they keep three this year, Ross. And I think they're going to go with Tim Boyle is going to be their backup quarterback. I just think he's been so much more consistent than DeShone Kizer. And one thing that, quite frankly, I don't understand is when people argue about DeShone Kizer's upside compared to Tim Boyle's. Now, Tim Boyle has his arm talent is very impressive. I mean, there is not a throw that he can't make. And quite frankly, I think he's just got it between the ears more than DeShone Kizer does. That's not an endorsement saying that I think Tim Boyle needs to be a starter in this league. In fact, I'm nervous with him as my backup. But that's just how it's going to be with the Packers. They're not going to find anyone that's going to even be remotely close to the level of play that Aaron Rodgers brings. So a young guy like Tim Boyle, I think, at least offers pretty significant upside. Ross, give me your quarterback thoughts. Tell me if you disagree with me or if we're kind of in line on here on this one.
No, we're pretty much in lockstep there. My issue is not upside or whatever, you know, words you want to use. I've always had a problem with DeShone Kizer. I evaluated him, you know, pretty poorly. Or I have actually evaluated him accurately, at least so far as what we've seen. The one thing that I find with quarterbacks in my years of kind of watching these guys is the one deal that never improves, that you don't really see a big jump, is accuracy. If you got a 59% passer in college, unless they're absolutely just bombing the ball down the field vertically, play after play after play, they don't just turn into a 65% passer in the NFL. That's not really how you know, life works in scouting. It's not how life works in the National Football League. And so that's my issue with Kizer. It's always been my issue with Kizer.
Yeah, and that's when you start talking that, for me, that's kind of always been the kiss of death as well. When you look at quarterbacks' completion percentages, obviously you got to look at it with context. You know, drop passes, receivers are something that I think can be factored into that. But I do agree with you 100%. I don't know if there's a guy that you can point to that was an inaccurate passer in college and then took any type of coaching and was better. I mean, there might be one or two guys, but I could probably list you 50 for every one you come up with. So far we're in lockstep, like you said. Aaron Rodgers, Tim Boyle, quarterbacks of the Green Bay Packers. I don't think the Packers will go out and get anyone else. I just don't see it. Running back position. This is where it gets a little bit weird for me, and I think you got to kind of read between the lines with this, because I saved a roster position at the running back position initially. So that's the key word here, initially, for me. Obviously, Aaron Jones on the roster, Jamal Williams on the roster, Danny Vitale on the roster. That's it for initial cuts. And the reason I think that is because I don't think Trey Carson is worth a roster spot at the moment, especially not on this initial roster. I think there is 25 other Trey Carsons in the league that the Packers could probably go get at any point in time. Dexter Williams would be a tough cut just because he is a six-round draft pick, but that's when I say you start reading between the lines. I think Matt LaFleur has been disappointed, to say the least, in Dexter Williams. I think he isn't necessarily flashing like they wanted him to. So I think they cut him. But I think about 2 days later they bring him back. And the reason for that is the two reasons, really. And I'm going to jump ahead on some positions. But I think you got Equanimeous St. Brown and you got Oren Burks, who it looks like they're on the good side. They're getting good news about their injuries. But I do think EQ especially would be a very good candidate to be put on the injured reserve with the designation to return. And if they do that, they need to carry him on the roster. So I think he could be a guy that is carried on the roster. They go through that initial wave, and then he's put on that IR. I think Dexter Williams, honestly, would probably clear waivers if they want to bring him back. Or they could go out, and there's plenty of serviceable young third string running backs that they could probably go get their hands on and be plenty happy with. Ross, what are your thoughts on that? And then what are your thoughts on the running back position?
I would have kind of been able to go with you on that train, except for my own evaluation of Dexter Williams and all the nice things that Brian Gutekunst had to say about Dexter Williams today in his press conference. After listening to Goody today, I feel like what I've always felt, and that's just that they're not going to play him anyway, or they're going to try not to play him. They have lots of single back stuff in the offense for Vitale, and other than that, the ball carrying load is you know, figures to very much be Jones and Williams. So I don't think they care right now. You know, I don't think they care, to be blunt. I think that his issues are mental and potentially with pass protection, and those are the two easiest things to fix. You know, improve your pass block technique, get in the playbook. What can't you fix? The ability to accelerate, vision, his natural gifts. You just can't replicate, and Trey Carson does not have those gifts.
Yeah, no, he does, and that's what I mean. Like, Trey Carson is a guy you can go, you can pick up any day of the week. You know, as weird as that sounds for an NFL caliber player, but there are Trey Carsons out there. But I'm going to play on your heartstrings a little bit here, because I think, you know, they're going to have to try to save a roster spot somewhere, and if they're not going to play Dex, then why roster him right away? And so I think it might come down to, at least for me, looking at especially the offense, it might come down to a, who do you like more? Would you rather have a Darius Shepherd on your team, or would you rather have a Dexter Williams?
I mean, I've got them both, and my numbers add up to 53, so I'm fine.
So, and we'll get to that later, because I'll be curious to see where you did save a roster spot there. And actually, I could probably do that too here online. But anyways, we'll move on to the wide receiver position, which is it's the toughest one to sort through. There's so many guys on this list that I like. There's so many guys on this list that I think a lot of people like. So obviously Devontae on the list, MVS on the list, Geronimo on the list. I think those are your three locks. I think Kumerow is essentially a lock. After that, it gets interesting. For me, what I would do is I love what Trevor Davis brings to this team. I love the skill set that he possesses. I think, you know, those jet sweeps, those fake jet sweep actions are going to be vital to what Matt LaFleur wants to do. So I think he's on this team. You know, couple that with the fact that he's an excellent return man. He's an excellent gunner. He's a guy that's going to bring you a lot of value as your fifth receiver. And then my sixth receiver, I think you start talking about, okay, Darius Shepherd or Alan Lazard. And for me, and I'm trying to take my NDSU glasses off here, but I just think Shepherd's the guy. And the reason for that is because if you talk about, you can't say Trevor Davis brings all this stuff to this team and then turn around and say, well, that's why they're going to cut Shep. I think the opposite. I think if Trevor Davis brings all this stuff to the team, then why wouldn't they want another guy that has at least a similar skill set to that can do similar things? I mean, Trevor Davis has not played a full 16-game season either. So Trevor Davis goes down, which he has in the past. And hopefully he stays healthy, but he goes down. Let's say he does. Who's your return man? You know, Shepherd has proven he's more than adequate returning kicks. We already know he's a good punt returner. So for me, for that reason, that's why he's my sixth receiver, which then, of course, Alan Lazard does not make the team. He'd be the tough guy to cut, I suppose. And then for me, I have EQ, you know, going to that IR with the designation to return. Ross, thoughts on the wide receiver position?
I'm exactly with you. I'm trying to sneak EQ onto the IR return, and I'm trying to sneak Alan Lazard onto the practice squad because one Darius Shepherd is already on the roster.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and that's actually, when we fast forward to guys' practice squad, Alan Lazard would be the guy that I would give a big fist pump for if he was able to be on the practice squad. The tight end position. This one's weird for me, and I'll let you start with this one, Ross, and give me your thoughts, but it's not exciting, you know? So I want to hear what your thoughts are on the tight end position.
I mean, no, it's not exciting. I think it's been obvious since the start of camp, whether, you know, Farrell McKeever, David Bayless, whatever, it's just not going to happen. Packers have, in my opinion, a pretty obvious plan in place in that they've got two veteran guys that they at least somewhat believe in, and Mercedes Lewis and Jimmy Graham that aren't going to be on the roster in 2020. You know, it's just not going to happen. And the guys that they are going to, you know, attempt to fill those spots with are Robert Tonyan and Jay Sternberger. Tonyan, a high upside undrafted guy, and then Jay Sternberger, a top 100 pick of theirs this year. But I think this is darn near going to be a redshirt year for Sternberger. That's just life as a rookie tight end. So that those are your four, and I think four is a sensible number, and I think four is the number that makes sense for, you know, for this roster.
Yeah, and I'm same. I mean, we're in agreement there, and the only thing that I would hope for as a fan would be that Robert Tonyan would have been able to overtake Mercedes Lewis and then only carry three. Just because Jimmy Graham, and that's what's not exciting to me is Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis on this team. Like, I 100% get why they would keep both of them, but they are what they are. You know, Jimmy Graham is probably less of than what we really remember him. Mercedes Lewis kind of is too. Sternberger, I love Jay Sternberger. He was one of my guys in this last year's draft class. But even admitting during draft season that he's probably going to need a year. Tonyan is really the one guy that I think we could look to on this roster from the tight end position that might surprise this year. And I hope he does. He's looked, you know, he's obviously flashed in the preseason, got to do it in the regular season. So we'll see there. Kind of just an odd positional group, I guess. You got guys out the door, and then you got two guys up and coming. and there's not really a way that you can save a roster spot with any of the four. So I agree with you. I think that's the four. Offense, the way I split this up, Ross, for offensive line was I wanted to look at their offensive tackle depth, and then I wanted to look at their interior offensive line. So starting with offensive tackle, I only have three guys that are true O-tackles, and that's Dibak, obviously, Bulaga, obviously, is on the team, and then Alex Light. It seems like he's, you know, he's really clearly made himself the backup swing tackle. So as far as offensive tackle, did you keep anyone else besides those three guys that would specifically be just an offensive tackle?
No, I did not. No, I think what I mentioned, you know, was the versatility of other guys. Elton Jenkins can play right tackle if you need him to. Billy Turner can play right tackle if you need him to. And McCray has played like every position on the line, you know, regular season games. So, you know, just keeping the three tackles is fine, you know, when you're in a position to roster as many guys that can play a little bit of tackle if you need them to.
And here's what I think is more, because I agree with you, I think your interior offensive line, you got a bunch of guys that are versatile. But if, let's say, Bulaga goes down or Bakhtiari goes down for, you know, for three games or whatever it is, do they shuffle, or would you think they would just plug in Alex Light? Like, who do you think would get the first crack at it?
Oh, if Bakhtiari went down?
Yeah, let's say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Alex Light. They wouldn't mess around with that. Yeah, you just put Alex Light in at left tackle and pray, you know?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't shuffle the rest of the line. Maybe you give a chip on that side, or you play Mercedes over there or whatever, but no, you wouldn't weaken the rest of your line just to fix the Bakhtiari situation.
Yeah, and do you think they do the same with Bulaga then too?
That one's a little trickier, because I think you could potentially kick Billy out.
Right, and that's if you make the argument best five on the field, I think, you know, whoever loses the Elton Jenkins Lane Taylor battle, then you'd be looking at, you know, kicking Billy out and then plugging one of those guys in. But hopefully that's not something they even have to deal with. And hopefully Alex Light, you would hope that he would just be a guy they can throw out there and play. Because truthfully, if he can, you're probably looking at Alex Light as the starting right tackle, you know, in 2020-21. Interior offensive line, this is interesting, because I think you can, with the versatility, I think here this is where you can save a roster spot if you want to. You know, that's a tricky one, because it's offensive line is one of those positions that is just, man, if you got a guy that can play, you keep him. That's just kind of how it is. But before I go, Ross, I'll let you give me your interior offensive line keepers.
Yeah, so I went with Elton, Corey Lindsley, Billy Turner, Madison, McCray, and Patrick. So if you are looking for Lane Taylor, you're going to keep looking. I released Taylor and saved that money, rolled it into next year's cap. I felt like Jenkins is the best player available. They invested a second-round pick in him. He is one of the better pass-blocking interior linemen rookie prospects I've ever seen, and that allows you to, you know, keep Madison around. And then McCray and Patrick have just proven that while they might not play at an all-pro level, the lights aren't too bright. They're not going to embarrass themselves. They're not going to get Rodgers murdered.
Okay, so cool. So we have a discrepancy here. Great. Fun to talk about. I keep Lane Taylor. I don't get rid of him, even if he's not starting. So my guys are Corey Lindsley, Billy Turner, Lane Taylor, Elton Jenkins, Lucas Patrick, and Justin McCray. And the reason I don't get rid of Lane Taylor is just because, you know, I think back to 2 years ago where they essentially were playing with five guards as their offensive line, and that left tackle was just, you know, a revolving door. And they threw Lane Taylor out there at left tackle, and he was a guy that kind of solidified that for two games. So I think he truthfully could be a guy that could back up, you know, five positions if you need him to. And his cap hit is, you know, $3.5 million next year, which isn't cheap, you know, but it's not expensive either. And kind of going back to, if you got a guy, if you have a guy that can play on the offensive line, there's such a need for offensive line play in the NFL. So I would be hard pressed to get rid of Lane Taylor. Next year, you know, when his contract's up, yeah, like he's gone. But as of right now, I keep him as of right now. Cole Madison was my tough cut here. And that's where I saved a roster spot. And we'll get to that later just because of injuries at another position.
So have you got 8 total offensive linemen then instead of 9?
I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, I got 9. I got 9.
Lane didn't save a roster spot.
You did for – what do you mean, for you or me? Well, I guess you're right. Madison would have made it 10.
In total, like 9 is a pretty standard number.
Yeah, Madison would have made it 10. So what did I do? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, I got 9. Yeah, so I guess not. You're right. I really saved a roster spot at the running back position.
We just have – I have Cole and you have
– Lane. Yeah.
Lane.
Yeah.
That's the only difference.
Yeah, you're right. So I guess what I should have said is Cole would have been my tough cut there. He'd be a guy I would want to sneak onto the practice squad. He would have been my next man up. Okay, so the defensive end position, I would almost guarantee we don't have similar guys here because I went a little weird. So I got Dean Lowry, Montrevious, Kingsley Keke, and a guy that I think has really flown under the radar this preseason is James Looney. He's a guy that, for me, he just keeps flashing, and I kept him for that reason. He was a draft pick last year. Didn't make the roster last year. Was a practice squad guy. I think he was called up at the end of last year. And I just like his skill set. You know, he's a +9 RAS type guy. And I think he's a guy that's worth developing. So I kept 4 DNs this year for the Packers. Ross, what did you do at that position?
I kept 5 total defensive linemen.
Woo!
5 total. Yeah, because – and the reason for that being – because I have extra 3 techs. I've got, if I need them, I've got Za'Darius Smith and Rashawn Gary. And in a pinch, I've even got Reggie Gilbert. So I have 5 total defensive linemen. I cut Looney. I cut Fadal. I cut Deion Simon. So I've got 2 1 techs in Kenny Clark and Tyler Lancaster. And then I've got Montrevious Dean and Kingsley Keke. That's who I've got. And we're going to try and get Deion Simon on the practice squad just in case we need another one tech.
Old man Simon? 26-year-old?
Yeah, I was old man Simon.
Okay, so we – what's that?
But we didn't do that. You know, we didn't guys on other teams.
Yeah. So we actually were in – besides me liking Looney more than you, we had a similar thought process there because I actually thought I went light there as well with – 6, because I kept everyone you did except Looney. Got Kenny Clark and Tyler Lancaster with the exact same thought process. You got the Smiths and Rashawn Gary that can kick inside and will this year. So I don't know if we need to get into the one tech. That's, you know, we both
get. It's just in a situation where you're playing with 2 defensive linemen on 80% of the plays, you know. So if you're playing with 2 defensive linemen, why do you need 7 on the roster? You know, when like I said, I think 5 will do, especially when you've got so many edge guys that can kick in there.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you there. So let's get to the edge then. These edge guys that they got, I would probably guess that we kept the same guys, unless you kept an extra one here. But I kept, you know, the Smith brothers, Rashawn Gary, Kyler Fackrell, Reggie Gilbert. Did you do anything different there?
I did not. Nope. I wanted to get rid of Gilbert all off season, just because I don't see, like, literally any upside. I think he is what he is, and what he is a replacement level pass rusher that has very little athleticism and was a lot better in preseason than he's ever been in a game that counts.
Yep.
And I know that sounds harsh, but hey, he's more valuable right now than the other edges on the roster. I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys fighting to be on this team. So the fact that I kind of have him in there as a guarantee should say something.
Yeah, and that's and the other guy. I think the only guy that maybe you tinker with him is Randy Ramsey. But then you talk about replacement level limited athlete. Like, okay, so is Ramsey just a younger Reggie Gilbert? Probably. So just give me the guy that's been there for 3 years or 4 years, whatever it is. If you got to roster him, so that's kind of the thought process.
Yeah, Ramsey and Shepard were the two guys that Gutekunst pointed out by name out of this undrafted free agent class.
Yeah, and Ramsey is a guy that I have him as on my short list of practice squad guys. I think he's flashed, in preseason. But edge rusher is a position that I buy into the athleticism. I really do.
Oh yeah, and not all edge rushers are elite athletes, but most of them are.
Right, and especially a bottom of your roster guy. For every James Harrison, there's 100 other guys that you never heard of, So this position I thought was interesting, and I posted this on Twitter yesterday, and this is where the most contention came from people that read it, and I get it for the inside linebacker position because I kept five. But the only reason I kept five is just because I think you got two guys that you don't really know about right now. You don't want to release them because you want to keep them, but you also don't know how long they're going to be out. And that's Oren Burks and Curtis Bolton are two guys that I think have played well enough. Obviously Burks is a high draft pick. Bolton has played well enough to be on this roster and even push Burks for that second inside linebacker spot. But so what does that leave you with if you roster four of them in, say you keep Blake, Oren, Curtis Bolton, and Ty Summers? Really, you've rostered four, but you only have two that can play right now. So I kept a fifth in Brady Sheldon, and that could be a spot that maybe Goody goes out and scans the waiver wire for. But I think Brady Sheldon has played well enough to be at least considered if they go that route of not knowing what they have with injuries, and they're kind of in a bind here. Truthfully, it's kind of a weird situation they're in. Ross, what did you do with that situation?
Yeah, so I want to admit that if you are finding my 53-man roster in the magic place that it was published, I was at a disadvantage time-wise. The Oren Burks clarification came out afterwards. I had Oren and Curtis Bolton both as IR candidates, not as cuts, but as IR candidates. And so I had Martinez, Summers, Crawford, and Sheldon all making the roster as the four. And that's one place maybe where I obviously saved a roster spot over you. I would say, though, that Sheldon becomes a perfect candidate for the practice squad, and that they roll with Martinez, Summers, Burks, and Crawford. With Bolton potentially as an IR return candidate, because Bolton says he doesn't have a torn ACL doesn't mean that he's going to be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's Bolton could be absolutely could be a guy
that as well as I think Curtis has played and the nice things I've said about him. That doesn't mean they feel the same way. That doesn't mean that the Packers were sliding him in for 35 snaps a game like I was.
Yeah. No, that's true. We're not privy to that information whatsoever. And Bolton is a guy that, you only have to, and correct me if the IR designation is kind of wonky. You have to roster the guy if you are going to bring him back.
Yeah, you get IR'd before the cutdowns, you are not coming back.
And so that'll be interesting to kind of see what they think of Bolton, what they do with him. They could just outright cut him. Last year they had two undrafted rookie free agents that, Packers Twitter kind of liked as well, and they didn't keep either of them. So you never know. And they very well may just IR him and say, hey, come back next year. Better luck next year. Hope stay healthy. So that'll be interesting. And it's kind of turned into an interesting position to keep an eye on with the 53. The cornerback position is, I think this is pretty much what people want right here, and it's straightforward. You got Jair, Kevin King, Tony Brown, Tremont Williams, Josh Jackson, Kadar Holman. Did you do anything different?
I did not. Nope. I love Chandon. I don't think he's going to make the team. I think they would be doing absolute backflips if they could sneak Chandon and Sullivan onto the practice squad.
Yep, same. He's on my practice squad shortlist. And I think that's probably the easiest position, because I think you just put it perfectly, because Chandon is really only the other guy that I think has proven he may be able to play in the NFL. And the top six are guys that I think are pretty cut and dry. So the safety position is interesting as well. And I'm going into this with the idea that Tremont can play safety in a pinch. And I only kept three with Ibrahim Campbell on the pup, waiting for him to come back. So the three I kept were the three obvious ones: Adrian Amos, Darnell Savage, Raven Green. I didn't want to keep Jamerson. I just, it kind of came down to him and inside linebacker depth for me. And I went with the depth just because I think Jamerson is probably, you're talking about the, probably the 50 plus guys on the roster, 51, 52, 53, really bottom of the roster guys when you get to this third safety spot. And there's not really anyone that screams you have to roster them after those three. Ross, what are your thoughts on the safety position?
And that's where I stole a roster spot from the linebackers. I utilized five here. I brought Campbell up, and then Natrell Jamerson was literally my 53rd guy. I mean, he was my last guy in, and it was between him and Will Redmond. And what my thought was there is that both he and Redmond, in a pinch, can play either corner or safety. Mm-hmm. And so if you are going to, have a 53rd guy or a last guy on the roster, why not have that last guy on the roster able to contribute in more than one way? Because the only way that guy, if he's the last guy that makes your team, is going to meaningfully contribute is if something bad happened. I mean, let's just be honest about it. So that's where I'm at with the safety group is Ibrahim and then Darnell, Raven, Adrian, and then Jamerson as kind of a corner slash safety. And the same sort of goes for Tremont. He is a corner slash safety as well.
Yeah. And I guess we had similar thought processes, but mine was just keep Ibrahim on the pup. I don't know when he's going to be ready. When he is, that's when you kind of thin out that inside linebacker position or hope someone's healthy there, ready to come back. But either way, the biggest points of contention on this roster are things we talk about now and we get passionate about now are things that, if week four into the season, hopefully we don't have to see these guys playing, truthfully, because these are guys that are depth and these are guys that you're hoping, they've shown you something that you hope you can develop in the future. And hopefully the future is next year or the year after that, and the future is not week five because of injuries. But we're all Packers fans, and we all know kind of how this goes. And sometimes that 53rd man turns into someone that's covering Julio Jones in the NFC Championship game. Just the way it goes sometimes. As far as special teams, I went with Crosby, J.K. Scott, Hunter Bradley. I'd be willing to bet a lot of money that you didn't do anything different than that, Ross. Seems kind of like that's what the Packers want to do. Going kind of long here, but some guys, practice squad shortlist guys, I'll just run through them. Just guys that I think have shown at least enough that I would want to keep them around the organization. Yosh Nijman, I think, is just a ball of clay. Dexter Williams, obviously, talked about him. Chandon Sullivan is a guy I'd love to keep. Jamon Moore is interesting. If they can slip him on the practice squad and he's okay with that, I would do that. Randy Ramsey, Kabian Ento are some guys that I think the Packers, or I would like the Packers to keep around. Ross, do you have any practice squad shortlist type guys?
Not really. I mean, just like I said, if you go in and look through, the article that I wrote, just go into the comments and the explanations, and if I really feel strongly about somebody, I'll mention that, this guy just about made it. And if you're a just about made it kind of guy for me, then the obvious next step is the practice squad.
Hey, where can we find that article?
Like I said, keep, if you want to do your own research and figure it out, go ahead. But until then, just keep your eyes peeled to at Jacob Morley and at Ross Uglum on Twitter.
All right, will do. I'll do that. Ross, thanks for joining me as always. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We're close, friends. I think we're under 2 weeks until we have actual real Bullets Are Live Packers football. And until then, go Pack, go.
First and 10 from the 17 of San Francisco. Get Jones around the right end. Gets a block. Makes the turn. 10 to the 5. To the end zone. Second and 2. 6-yard line to Minnesota. Tied at 7 apiece. Graham tight end right side of the line. 3 receivers punch on the left. Rodgers under center. It's motion to the right. Here's the pitch. Jones around the left end. He's got Bakhtiari blocking in front. Jones makes the turn to the pylon. To the end zone. For the touchdown. Second and short, get Jones, big hole, right side, 20, 15, 10, to the end zone, touchdown! Takes the snap, delay, hands it off, Jones up the middle with a burst, there he is, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, high-stepping, end zone, touchdown! Packers aren't going anywhere today, they are here to play! 33-yard, touchdown burst! To match the number on the jersey of Aaron Jones. Oh, my goodness, what a play. Jimmy Graham wide to the right side. Three receivers bunched tight on the left. Aaron Jones on the left side of the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers in shotgun. Hand off Jones, picks his way off the right side, fights for the goal line, and did he get in?
Yes, he did. Touchdown.
Single back offense behind Aaron Rodgers, who ducks in under center. From the 29 of Green Bay, and here's the handoff off the middle. Big hole, straight ahead. Here's Aaron Jones off to the races, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, down the left sideline, and he's out of bounds. Inside the 10 of the 5-yard line of Miami. Aaron Jones with a first, 67 yards.